all your plans and all your pre-scheduled things, what God should do, and just say, Holy Spirit, you do whatever you want to do, and then we can have a service. I love that song, Fill My Cup, Lord. I tell you, I mean, that's a real blessing. But I'm not trying to break your heart, but I got something to tell you something. You see, David said, my cup runneth over. Now, you see, that was for the Old Testament people. They had a cup. But now, since they're saved, now there's rivers. Amen. We're not in the cup blessing no more. Amen. Now, I know a lot of you are in the cup blessing, but bless God, I like to get in the river. Amen. Jesus said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Is that right? Amen. So we done left the cup stage to the river stage. Amen. And I hope it gets so high tonight that some of you have to swim out of this place. Amen. Amen. I like it that way. I got to do something first before we get started here, before we get started in the message. I tell you what, for about 5 minutes, I got to give you something before the message tonight. I want you to be looking in the front of your Bible to the book of Ezra in the Old Testament, deacons, Amen. Amen. In the book of Ezra, I want to show some. I've got to do this. I really feel the Lord would have us to do this tonight, that it might be able to help somebody. But before we do that, I'd like to have, if it'd be all right with the pastor here, I want to do something here, Pastor, if it'd be all right. I want to give somebody something. I'd like Brother Gino and Brother Dick Clegg, if you come up here. I got something for you. Amen. You both pastor churches. And I figured today, what could I get you that expresses my feelings about what we ought to do when we go to church. Amen. Dr. Cassieri. Amen. 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 Anyway, I got both of you fellows here. Something all your church ought to do, you ought to twist and shout. Amen. 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 So that's twist and shout. And I want to give you a little certificate. Amen. And if you don't twist and shout at your church, we're going to repossess it. Amen. God bless you, fine pastors. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Amen.
I'm Italian. I got a hug.
Love you, brother. Love you, brother Dick. Amen. Amen. All right. We got something else we'd like to do. Bobby Picard. Where's Bobby at? Where's Bobby? Bobby? Little Bobby, yes, please. Little Bobby. Come here, Bobby. I got him a little certificate here. I've got a little certificate down here. I was at this little bookstore down here today, and it said a certificate of the new birth. Bobby told me the other day that he got saved, and pretty soon they fixed to baptize him. And so, son, we wanted to give you this little plaque here. Maybe you might be able to put it on your wall and remember the day that you got saved. Amen. God bless you, son. God bless you, Bobby. Amen. Amen. That's unusual, isn't it? Amen. Amen. I hope that'll be a blessing to Bobby and each one of you. And that's what we should do. We ought to shout it out when we go to the house of God. Bunch of old sinners redeemed from hell, and God saved us and forgive us. Put us on run for heaven and let us enjoy this. And not only will we enjoy here, then we got heaven to enjoy too. Is that right? Now I got something else I want to do. Now I don't know whether they're gonna get this. I don't know whether they're gonna get this award here or not. I thought this was a real pretty award here, but it's gonna depend on what they're gonna do. Sister Helen Picard, will you come up here, please? Sister Helen, this all right, Pastor? This all right? Sure. Amen, Sister. Come up here, Sister Helen. I want you to do something before we give you this. I want you to give a testimony. I want you to tell folks what God did in your life. Something here. And then if you would, if you know a melody, if you know something you want to sing, I got a music award here that I want to give you. Go ahead, sister. Help yourself.
Well, first of all.
Yes. Oh, Lord.
I just listened very carefully the other night, Johnny.
Yes.
In your alphabet.
Uh-huh. Yes.
You said in the letter B, you thought you were funny. The bad breath.
Yeah.
I got you some of that.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Sure.
That's right. That's right. Amen. Amen. Yeah.
And then, I don't know if all of you know, but Sometimes Brother Johnny goes to the restaurant.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Hey, man, I need some. Give me some bugs. I can use them. Hey, man.
He bugged us at all this week.
That's right. Hey, man. God bless you. We love it. Give us that one for the Lord. Hey, man.
Okay. Well, today when Brother Johnny said it to me, first I said, I don't think so. This isn't a good idea. But then I said, all right, I'll try it. But, well, I am saved.
Yes, I've been
thankful of that. I have a wonderful husband that is saved, and I have children, four which are saved, and the two younger ones I'm praying for. And, it's just Bobby and me saved has just put a nice spark in my life.
Sure.
About, just getting excited about the Lord, getting excited about heaven again. And,
that's right.
And the rapture, you know, it's coming. And, so when I was 12 years old, I trusted the Lord, and I know from then that there was times I doubted and all, and wondered if I was too saved as a young girl, and I just kept holding on to John 10:28. I just talked about he'll never leave us, never. Never plus we are as the Lord's hand.
That's right, sir.
Thankful for that and blessed.
That's right.
Anyway, he also wanted me to sing a song. That was the part I was like, no.
It's time for Jesus, yes.
But if I was trying, I said, well, first I said, well, I have probably taken quite a time to. I think it's a thing of humbling me. Keeping me humble.
Yes, right,
it's like the story of my life, every road I go. So he's trying to humble me.
Sure. Sorry,
I think God's trying to say something to me.
Yes.
But this was a... I'm going to sing a song that I sang as a little girl. It's my favorite song.
Sure.
And I hope it's all right with everybody. What's that? I don't think,
I don't think you'd know it.
Here I was denying him. I never thought I could. I feel the Lord, I let him down after all he's done to me. And now he's walking up a hill. A hill called Calvary.
That's right, yes. Amen, yes.
Calvary.
That's right, yes.
Calvary.
That's right, yes.
Was it meant for him?
Yes.
Was it meant for me?
Yes, sir.
Calvary.
That's right, yes.
Calvary.
Yes.
Is that my cross he's taken to Calvary?
That's right, sister. Yes, it is. Yes.
He found me in my sin and told me, go and sin no more. And ever since that day, I'm not the way I was.
That's right. Yes, that's what he does. Yes.
I only came to thank him for the life he gave to me.
That's right, sister, yes.
And now he's walking up a hill called Calvary.
That's right, sister, yes.
Calvary.
Yes.
Calvary.
Yes.
Was it meant for him? Was it meant for me? Calvary.
Yes.
Calvary.
Yes.
Is that my cross he's taken to Calvary?
Amen. Amen. bless you. Amen. There's your musical walk. God bless you. Love you. We love you. Amen. Appreciate that. Now, wasn't that good? Amen. That was sure good. I want to say a word. I've only got tonight and tomorrow night. Tomorrow night, we'll be finishing up here tomorrow night. But I want to say something to each one of you. I want you to listen a little bit, Brother Six, to tell you. Whether you're saved or whether you're lost, but this is especially for you that are saved by the grace of God. There's something inside of you more powerful than the Holy Ghost. Now, don't crucify me yet, but hear me out. There's something inside of you more powerful than the Holy Ghost, and that is the power of choice. You can live for God if you want to, and you don't have to live for God if you don't want to. You will if you're saved by the grace of God. I'll guarantee you, he will chastise you. He will do things to your life to get you back because you are a child of God. But you make the choice whether you want to accept Christ, whether you don't want to accept Christ, whether you want to live for Christ, or whether you don't want to live for Christ. It's not just the pastor's preaching or my preaching or Brother Clegg or Dr. or Brother Tessier. It's not none of these other Brother Davis or nobody else preaching. But there's some things in your life that you've got to do yourself. David, King David said he encouraged himself in the Lord. The Apostle Paul said, examine your own self whether you be in the faith. Jude said, building up yourself in the most holy faith. Is that right? I mean, the saying this word yourself comes up over and over and over. So a lot of times that when people's in the church for a while and then they get out, the pastor feels that, well, I must not have preached good enough. I didn't bring the right message. No. There's some things that you have to do yourself. Keep thyself pure. Is that right? I mean, over and over, there's some things in this life, not that you're working for your salvation, but after you're saved by the grace of God, there is some things that you have to do, that you've got to do for yourself. And so I hope that you'll understand what God is trying to tell you. Examine yourself. Keep yourself in the faith. Study. Get in there. Get in that book and learn some things in that scripture and some things that will help you. Is that right? John said in 1 John, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Is that right? So there's some things that you have got to do. Everywhere I go, people say, Brother John, I'm doing everything I can. I'm trying to stay away from sin. I'm fighting sin. Oh, and the preachers get up and preach and tell them, say, don't you have nothing to do with sin. Stay away from sin. Get away from sin. Can I tell you that? Because listen to what my doctor is telling you. Don't let me shock you real close. Jesus did not tell the disciples that. No. When he come out of the Garden of Gethsemane praying, he said, pray lest you enter into what? Temptation. Not if you enter into sin. Watch this real close. Watch. Because temptation always comes before sin. You see what I'm saying? Therefore, if you keep yourself away from temptation, you will not sin. Is that right? Nod your little pointed head. Amen. Is that right? You got to stay away from temptation. If that television tempts you to sin, if that computer tempts you to sin, get rid of that outfit. Amen. Then you'll get out of the sinning business. Is that right? Because Paul said that God has made a way to escape if you want to get out of it. Is that right? Nod your little pointed head. Amen, brother. Amen. I'm trying to help you tonight. So you remember there's some choices that you've got to make on your own, whether you want to grow in the Lord or not. Is that right? Now I want to show you something real fast. We're going to turn over two verses, then I'll get ready to preach my message here today. I want to show you something because I've heard about five or six remarks about this, and I hope that it'll help. I hope that it'll help you, that you can see some of your responsibility to the Lord. But before I do that, where's that brother that I ate lunch with Monday? Where's he at again? He's gone again. Hey, Deacon! Come here, Deacon. You don't have to come up here. You just sit there. Now, this man here, this is a man of wisdom. Now, you remember last night I found his thing about the 23rd pound. Well, they give me something else. That's good, brother. You stand right there. Oh, just sit down. I just want to be a guest on you, my real brother. Anyway, he gave me something. He told me, said, Brother Johnny, I'm going to tell you something. I said, I done figured my wife out. I said, you did what? He said, yes, sir. He said, Brother Johnny, I'm going to give you the recipe to know how to treat a woman and to know exactly what a woman's thinking about. I said, can you? He said, yeah. I said, good. Give me a copy. I want to give it to Bob Picard. Amen. Amen. So anyway, this is what he gave me. How? Listen, men, you better listen to this. Men, how are you supposed to understand a woman? When a woman tells you yes, she means no. When a woman says no, she means yes. When a woman says maybe, she still means no. When she says, I'm sorry, she means you're going to be sorry. Is that right? When she says, honey, we need, she's saying, I won't. See, you got to decipher what they're really telling you in their words. Whenever she says, it's your decision, boy, you invite. She's really saying the correct decision ought to be obvious by now, amen? The next thing is, and she says, do whatever you want. She's saying, buddy, you'll pay for it later. Is that right? When she said, sure, go ahead. She said, well, I'm really saying I don't want to. Is that right? When she said, I'm not upset. She said, of course, I'm really saying you're nothing but a moron. When she says, honey, you're so manly. She's really saying that you need a shower and shave because you stink. Ain't that right? When she said, honey, you just so excite me. You're so romantic. She's trying to say, fellas, listen, cut the lights off because my thighs are flabby. Amen. When she said, this kitchen is so inconvenient, she's telling you I want a brand new house. Amen. When she said I want new carpets, she said I want furniture and I want all the appliances to go with them. Amen. When she tells you, I heard a noise. You know how during the sleep, why I said, I heard a noise. She said, I noticed that she was almost asleep, big boy. When she says, honey, but you love me, catch it, fellas. She's fixed to ask you for something expensive. Is that right? Then when she said, how much do you love me? Here it comes. She's done something that day that she's hating for you to find out about. Is that right? When she said, I'll be ready in a minute, you might as well kick your shoes off and go down and watch the Patriots, because it's going to be a long time. Is that right? And whenever she says, honey, we need to learn to communicate, she's really saying, buddy, you better listen to me better more often. Is that right? Thank you, my brother. I appreciate that. Amen. I'll give you that here. Let me look with you. Amen. I'll give you that. Amen. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. Sister, you're out of the doghouse now. You know, I told somebody the other day, I was on a conference somewhere, and somebody, the preacher's woman, to preach on marriage and divorce and things like that. I said, I want to tell you something. Divorces is not what's killing our churches. It's bad marriages is what's killing our churches. Getting unequally yoked and marrying the wrong one on the beginning. Is that right? And then naturally, it's destined to wind up in a divorce. Is that right? It's like one time I heard about a guy I knew, a new convert, wanted to go out with the pastor visiting, so he took it to an institution. To a mental institution, a mental ward. And they went down there and they started walking through the corridors and the preacher took him and he looked inside this window. And in there was a big old, it was a padded cell. And this guy was running all over the wall. He was bouncing off the wall. He was saying, oh, Janet! Oh, Janet! Oh, Janet! And that little boy asked the pastor, said, Pastor, what in the world is wrong with that little boy, that man in there? He said, well, he's just so upset. Said he had a nervous breakdown. He said, the woman that he loved run off with another guy, and so it just upset him. It made him lose his mind, and that's the reason he goes around hollering, "Old Janet, old Janet." He said he went down through three or four more cells, looked through the window, and there was another guy on the other side bouncing on the wall. Said, "Old Janet, old Janet, old Janet." And the guy said, that other guy, his wife, ran off, what's wrong with this here? He said, he's the one that got her. Amen, ain't that right? Amen. That's exactly the way it is. But I want to show you something 5 minutes, and then we'll get ready to preach here in a minute. But I want to show you something I think is so important. Ezra chapter 9 and in verse 8. Ezra chapter 9 and in verse 8. This is so important, especially during revival time, because it even mentions revival in there. Ezra chapter 9, verse 8. He said, "Now, for a little space, grace has been shown from the Lord our God to give us a remnant to escape, and to give us," underline this word, "a nail in his holy place, that our God may lighten our eyes and give us," here's that reviving, "and give us a little reviving in our bondage. For we were bondmen, yet our God has not forsaken us in our bondage, but has extended mercy in the sight of the kings of Persia." There's that word reviving again, "to give us a reviving, to set up the house of our God, and to repair the desolation thereof, and to give us a wall in Judah and in Jerusalem." Please underline that word, nail. Please underline that word. For 5 minutes, I want to give you something on the nail. We turn over to Isaiah chapter 22. You don't have to go no further. What I want to show you here just for a few minutes is that not only you're a sheep when God saves you, not only you're a sheep, not only you're salt, not only you're light, not only you're an eagle, not only you're a piece of clay that the potter dealt with, not only you're all these things, but for about 5 minutes, I want to show you how that when God saves your soul, you see, God likes putting names in his book. Did you know that? Did you know God likes writing names in his book? That's why people that goes to hell, their names was never recorded. Is that right? So God, if you're unsaved here tonight, God would love to enter your name inside of his book. Hey, is that right? Huh? Now watch this real close. Watch this real close. Now I want to show you that a nail, how did God likens a born-again child of God unto a regular, everyday, common nail. Now you know the purpose of a nail. A nail, watch this, in this pulpit, I think it probably has some nails in here. The purpose of a nail is to hold things together and to strengthen things. That's the purpose of a nail. In window frames, in door jams, and everything like this. The purpose of a nail. When God saves you, not only your sheep, not only your salt, not only your light, God makes you as a nail. He places you in the house of God to hold things together and to strengthen things. Do you get that? Isaiah chapter 22 real fast. Isaiah chapter 22. Let me show you something. There was a man, there was a nail in the house of God. In Isaiah chapter 22 and in verse 15, please. Isaiah chapter 22, verse 15. In verse 15, here's what it says. There was a man by the name of Shebna. In verse 15, it said, "Thus saith the Lord God of hosts, go, get thee unto..." He was the treasurer down at the church house, down at the temple. He said, "You go, you get into this treasure." And he said, "You get into this treasury, even into Shebna, which is over the house," and say, they said, verse 16, he's trying to build a big tomb, a big monument behind after he dies. Then verse 18, God is making a judgment. "And he will surely violently turn and toss thee like a ball into a large country. There thou shalt thou die, and there the chariots of thy glory shall be thy shame, and the Lord's house. And I will drive thee from thy station, and from thy state shall I put thee down." Here's what God said. God said, "I want you to know something. I got a man down at the house of God. His name is Shebna. He's trying to build a big tombstone to remember him after he's gone. He's got a big old set of chariots that he's planning that people to drive after he's dead. God said, I want you to know that I'm fixed to kill Shebna. I'm fixed to take him out of this place." And here's why he said this. Here he says first in verse 20, and he said, "It shall come to pass." You always remember this. You underline that word, said it come to pass. It don't never come to stay. You hear what I'm telling you? Thank God there's things that come in your life, but it will come to pass. Whether it be heartache, whether it be trials, whether it be tribulations, they do come, but they do come to pass. We ought to jump up right now and shout the glory of God that it don't come to stay. Is that right? Look at that. He said, and he said, and it shall come to pass, in verse 20, in that day will I call my servant Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah. And he's telling, talking to Shebna, and I'm going to clothe him with thy robe, and I'm going to strengthen him with thy girdle and belt, and I will commit thy government unto his hand, and he shall be a father unto the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. Verse 23. Here's what it said. Talking about what God's going to do with Eliakim. And I will fasten him as a what? I'm going to take Eliakim, and I am going to fasten him as a nail in a sure place. Do you know where the surest place on planet Earth is? It's not the United States government. It's not Dow Jones Stock Exchange. It's not the Masonic Lodge. The most surest place on planet Earth is an old-fashioned, independent, sin-fighting church. Is that right? Jesus made us a promise on this rock. I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will never prevail against it. Amen. Bless God, the church ain't going down. Glory to God. Glory to God. How she's going up. Is that right? Is that right? Amen. I'm trying to tell you the truth. Amen. For God said, I'm going to place him as a nail in a sure place, and he shall be for a glorious throne unto his father's house. Now watch this. And they shall hang upon him all the glory of his father's house, the offspring and the issue of all the vessels, small quantities, from the vessels of cups, even to all the vessels of flagons. In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, shall the what? Shall the nail that is fastened in a sure place be removed and cut down, and fall the burden that was upon it shall be cut off. For the Lord hath spoken it. Watch this real close. When God took you and saved you, he likens your life unto a nail. He placed you in the surest place on planet Earth. He placed you in an old-fashioned church. Is that right? Now, watch here's what he's saying. He said, since I placed you in that church there, I want you to know that there's some things hanging on you. If you drive a bus around here, them kids you pick up are hanging on you. If you're a mama or a daddy around here, you got some people hanging on you. Is that right? Huh? Watch this real close. Watch what my daughter's going to tell you. You see, out at my house, if you go to my house right now, out back in my barn, I got some horse saddles. I got some hammers and saws and all kind of things hanging on a nail out there in my shed out there. But do you know what happened? If one of them nails wiggle out and fall to the ground, everything that is hanging on it will fall to the ground. Did you know everybody here sitting on the side of my voice has got somebody looking on you? They're hanging on you. You told them you were saved by the grace of God, and it's a nail in the house of God. Is that right? I ain't never seen a nail pull out that it don't leave a scar somewhere. So what you need to do is in the margin of your Bible, you need to write that I'm a nail, and I've got, they might be grandkids, it might be brothers, it might be sisters, it might be a mama, it might be a daddy, but I've got somebody hanging on me somewhere. Is that right? Watch this real close. Here's what I'm going to do. I've just got a minute before I get to my message here tonight, and I want to show you something. Here's how it is. Watch this real close. Say this piece of wood here is the church. Here's you. Here's the nail. You say, Brother Johnny, how did you get the hammer? I'm glad you asked. Jeremiah chapter 9 said, it's not his word like a what? Like a hammer that breaketh the rock into pieces. Is that right? Now, when you get saved by the grace of God, this piece of wood is the church. Here's your rod. God takes you with the Holy Ghost and the Word of God, and he places you in an old-fashioned Baptist church. Is that right? I want you to show you four things that happened to that guy. I'm going to just show you two and get out of here. He said the first thing that happened to him in verse 24, it said that they shall hang upon him all the glory of his father's house. So here's what happened to you. Now listen, Brother Johnny. If you're saying that you're saved by the grace of God, and God puts you in the father's house there, and you pretty soon you let something get crosswise you, getting out at the pastor, getting discouraged, and get out of church, the only thing you're doing is people that was looking at your life, you're going to cause them to fall to the ground. Is that right? But here's the bad part about it. It'll bring shame and reproach. You see, he said it'll bring shame to the father's house. Nod your little head, bless God. Do you even know what a nail is? This is what I, amen, this is what I'm trying to say. Watch this real close. Here's your life. Watch what it said. He said the first thing to do if you're a nail, God placed you in the house of God. And he said he drove you in there deep. And if you get out there or you fall to the ground, you see, that's what happened to Jimmy Swagger. Jimmy Swagger was a nail in the house of God. I don't doubt his salvation. I don't know if he's saved or not. But I'll tell you one thing, brother. The minute that Jimmy Swagger did that whole hop that he did and fell to the ground, I used to drive through Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and it used to say the Jimmy Swagger Parkway. It used to advertise Jimmy Swagger all the time. You can go through there now, it ain't nothing but a ghost town, and they don't even know who Jimmy Swagger is. Do you know why? Because he was a nail in the house of God, and when he fell and he fell down, everything hanging on him went right to the ground. Is that right? Peter told the other disciples, he said, when the Lord was in the tomb, I'm going fishing. And they all followed Peter. Is that right? When Peter fell out, they all fell out. Is that right? That's what happened to King David with Bathsheba. He was a nail in the house of God. And whenever he fell, the whole house of Israel fell to the ground. You better think twice if you're thinking about pulling out. Because I've never seen a nail pull out. It didn't leave a scar somewhere. Today sure be a good day. Not tonight. Before we get through our message, you hit this old time altar and ask God to drag you deeper than you've ever been. I got this message. You know how I got this message? I was up in Colorado, what they call the Continental Divide, the highest place in the United States of America. And I was watching this guy climbing a mountain. I was on one mountain peak and he was on the other. And he'd go upside of that mountain, Brother Belanger. He'd take a nail, he'd drive that nail in there. He'd take that hook, he'd hook that hook. He'd pull himself up a little bit further. He'd reach for that further. He'd put that nail there. He would pull himself up. And I got to thinking to myself there that day, if that nail pulled out, that man would be a goner for thousands of miles. But my friend, you told people you're saved. I was sitting there at a motel that night, Brother Belanger. And I took that nail, I picked up that old board. And I took it, I took my portrait out of my billboard here. In this portrait here, my daughters and sons and grandsons and great-grandsons. And I've been running up down this country saying, it's good to be saved. Popping the nail in the house of God, not realizing that they're all hanging on me. They're looking at my life just like they're looking at your life. And as in that motel room that night, I begin to think, there I am, a house of God. And the way that churches do you, and they hurt you, they break your feelings. But if you never get that in between you and God, and I pull out of the house of God, they'll all fall to the ground because they looked at the papa. Is that right? Is that true? That's the way that you and I are. And I'm telling you, out of this bunch right here, you said, little fellow right there, brother, he's already made plans and asked God wherever he gets big enough. He's already saved. But to use it one way or another, I don't care if he's a preacher or not. But I guarantee you one thing, son. If he's a preacher, I want him to be a real preacher. Amen? You hear what I'm telling you? You hear what I mean, a real preacher? I think all the real preacher, brother Todd, is an old-fashioned, independent Baptist preacher. Amen? Is that right? Son, listen, you say you're supposed to be a preacher, you ought to rip that stinking stump off, God, the stinking God. I wouldn't even want nobody to think I'm an Episcopalian or a Catholic. Is that right? Amen. I'm trying to tell you the truth, bless God. We don't need none of that junk, amen. Bless God, look like a preacher. Is that right? So I don't like it. I don't give a rip what you like, amen. You'll be preaching next week. It's my turn right now. But I'm trying to tell you, bless God, is that right? Huh? I forgot, brother, we was up there praying last night. I had your patch right here somewhere. That patch said, Reverend Mike. I throw that thing away and got you one step, Brother Mike. Because only God is reverend. Amen. You hear me? You say, I don't like it. I'll get rid of what you like. Amen. I'm trying to tell you, bless God, the truth. I want them people that's hanging on me, bless God. They come by my coffin. Come on, I'm an old-time preacher, man. That little old grandboy of mine, he's 10 and a half years old now. I was down in Florida, and I called his mama, and I said, can Nick go with me to that meeting? And she said, yeah, Papa, come on by and get him. I went down there to pick old Nick up down there, and I ain't no more than got him in the car. Whenever I got him in the car with me, we went about 3 or 4 blocks. He said, Papa, I said, yeah. He said, I sure would like to have a blue suit like you got. Boy, I tell you the truth, I pulled in Sears the robot. He ain't but about that tall, he's about that fat. I don't know where he gets it from. They told me when I swing the preach, I starved to death, baby. God's kept me fatter than fat anybody. Why, I'm quite on top. That's what God can do for you. Is that right? Starved to death my foot, amen. Amen. Oh, God. Oh, they said he'd never open a door for me. I booked up 4 years ahead. Amen. That's what God wishes back stood for. Oh, boy, God. That little boy said, Papa, I need a, I have a blue suit like you got. I pulled in tears. I said, fix that boy up. I got to get the meeting. Fix that boy up. That little old blue suit. Wayne the boy got back in the car. He said, Papa. I said, yeah.
Got it.
He said, I sure like to have a pen like you got. I said, Nick, man, I wish you were sitting something.
I
pulled in a Christian bookstore. I told him, I said, fix my grandson. I said, fix that boy with a pen. Fix him up good. Wayne the boy got in the car. We went maybe about a mile. He said, Papa. I said, yes, yeah, man. He said, I sure would like to have a red Bible like you. I pulled in that bookstore, and I went to that bookstore there. I got him a Bible. Had his name put on that Bible. Me and him went over to that meeting that night, and I preached. We'd come back at that 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning. It was real late. Them old Florida reflector lights down through them swamps there. It was about 1:30, 2 o'clock. All of a sudden, he woke up. Brother Richard, all of a sudden, he woke up, and he looked at me. He said, Papa. I said, yeah, Nick. Miss this. That's quiet. Just the air conditioner going. He's sitting on the other side. He said, Papa. I said, yes, sir. He said, you know what I want to be when I grow up? I said, yeah, Nick. You want to be a policeman? No, Papa, I don't want to be no policeman. I said, what you want to be? He said, yes, Papa. I said, you want to be a fireman? He said, no, Papa, I don't want to be no fireman. I said, Nick, what do you want to be? He said, Papa, when I grew up, I want to be a new kind of preacher. I want to be an old-time preacher like you. That boy right now thinks ain't nobody. Looks like Sister Blanche thinks ain't nobody can preach like him. Sister Peter thinks ain't nobody can preach like Brother Dick. Brother Rick thinks his wife ain't nobody can preach like him. Brother Cassie ain't thinking nobody can preach like him. Glory to God, that's the way it's supposed to be. Preacher told me the other night I was going to meet. He said, Camel's gone wild up there at that pulpit. I tell you, the glory of God was around that thing so strong. I tell you, I was having myself a time. I said, why shouldn't I be having a time? I got a woman down on her knees at 1909 South County Boulevard down in Chevrolet, Tennessee, that gets over her face before God and prays during the whole meeting to hold her husband up somewhere. He's declaring the gospel. Is that right? Even my wife right there, I'm a nail in the house of God. Even though you get hurt in the church, and people lie on you, tell things on you, if I pull out, she goes, the whole family goes. But that ain't only for me. That's for you too. You are a nail in the house of God that somebody is looking at your life. Well, let's get to my message tonight. Hebrews chapter 13. Now, while you turn to Hebrews 13, while you turn over to Hebrews chapter 13, you see these kids here at my motorhome. I've got 110 of these pictures. Over 60% of these children, their mamas and daddies belong to good churches, and they've got. They were the nail in the house of God. And some of these kids wound up getting pregnant. Some of these kids wound up getting on drugs. Some of these kids wound up doing all kinds of ungodly things, got into the Ouija, the witchcraft, and all this kind of stuff. Because mama, let me tell you something, Daddy. you got some kids out there. This is what Brother John is going to try to tell you. That God will visit the iniquity of the fathers unto the third and fourth generation. You say you're saved. You say you're a nail in the house of God. Big boy, you better get your family back together. Is that right? Is that preaching? Some little kid, because we don't stay with them and love them and mom and daddy carry them down to the church, they wind up just like these kids. Guy just recently pulled out of the house of God. Man, it wasn't going to go to church no more. And it was graduation. And the police come and told him, said, sir, I got to tell you something. Your little daughter's been killed out here on graduation night out here on the highway. Her and her boyfriend. And sir, I hate to tell you this, but we've been suspecting that she had alcohol in her blood level. And I tell you, it really looks bad. The boy had alcohol too. And that daddy jumped up and down. He said, I tell you, there ought to be a hell for somebody like that. Take my beautiful daughter out there on a prom night and wind up dead like that. Thought he had to get something to calm his nerves. He opened up the whiskey cabinet, and there was a note in there. Daddy, tonight is my graduation, and I know to celebrate, but you wouldn't mind if I went up and got a little of your scotch and we carried it for the graduation list. Daddy killed his own baby. Daddy was a nail in the house of God. They pulled out. You say, Brother Johnny, can save people do that? You can do anything a lost person can do. God, is that right? One other thing before I get to my message tonight. Everywhere I go, people say, well, the reason I don't go down to that church tomorrow and everything like that is I ain't getting fed. You ever hear that all the time? I ain't getting fed. I just ain't getting fed. I got to go somewhere else. Do you know the only people that needs feeding in my house is babies? Grown people feed themselves. Is that right? Oh, a lot of people leave the church and they'll pull out and they get in a pity party and they get to feeling sorry for themselves. And then, because if you just sit and imagine yourself a lot of your mind, you know what you need? Is that right? You hellcat. Christ died for you, suffered and died for you. And you got the gall and the audacity to sit up and say it's too hard. And around this area, you know what I've been hearing is? People say, I'm glad I'm saved. I love Jesus, but I don't like the church. Can I tell you something? There's no way that you could tell Gino Cassieri that you love him and you don't love his wife. And when you tell Jesus and everybody that you don't like the church, you're saying, Jesus, I love you, but I don't like your bride at all. I don't like your bride. I don't like your wife at all. And that hurts his heart. God will take care of you for that. All right, let's get my message. Hebrews chapter 13. I hope it didn't go over 5 minutes. I don't know. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13. Hebrews. You remember that? You are a nail in the house of God. Hebrews chapter 13. Let me show you something. Boy, to me, it's a real blessing. I'll tell you, I like this. I'll tell you, like a backslid whisker paper. You want to jump up and shout. Hebrews chapter 13 and in verse 5. It was said in verse 5. In verse 5, he said, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he said, talking about God the Father, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That words there, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, says the same thing forward as it does backwards. Here's what it says backwards. Thee forsake nor thee leave. I never will I. No, so it says the same thing forward as it does backwards. I will never leave thee, nor I will never forsake thee. They had a boy that he walked in his granny's room there in the hospital. She didn't have very long to live. She didn't have very long to live. And she was sitting there and she was reading this verse. And this boy had went off to Bible school to be a Greek student, would be a Greek student. And when he comes sitting down beside his mama's grandma's bed, she was reading this verse here. And she read that and said, "Granny, what are you reading there?" She said, "Sonny boy," she said, "I'm reading this here. Jesus said that he said that he would never leave me nor forsake me." He said, "Granny, I've been taking Greek down at the university. Let me tell you what that really means." He said, "That word never, it means in the Greek is five times. I will never, 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 never leave thee." That old saint of God looked at him. She said, "Well, sonny boy, you Greek students, God might have to take you five times, but all you got to do is tell me one time." Amen. Is that right? That's all he got to do. If that was one time, but God, that'll be good enough. Is that right? He said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Is that right? David said, he said, David said to himself, he said, "I've never, never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." David is not saying, "I never seen the same without heartbreak, without sorrow, without cancer," but he said, "I have never, ever seen them forsaken." Can I tell you something? I think I'm going to go close to this. Watch this real close. Jesus left his mother. Jesus left his father. But if you're saved here tonight, he'll never leave you. Think about that for a minute. He will never, ever leave you. And there might come a time in my life that I might have to wind up maybe in a nursing home or something like that and wind up with Alzheimer's. And Pastor Belanger, Brother Dick Craig might come to the side of my bed and they look me in my face and say, "Preacher, we come by to see you. We come by to pay our respects for you." And I might not never remember them. You hear what I'm trying to tell you? But there'll never be a day that God will never forget me. Is that right? He will never, ever forget us. Amen. Is that right? Let's bow our heads and we're close. Let's bow our heads.